Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the Full Time Report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United are brought to you by Piedmont Quick Care. One stop to better. Country Financial. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started at TakeSimpleSteps.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Heineken, Aaron's, the perfect choice for your budget and style with top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Scana, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. AT&T, more for your thing. That's our thing. Associated Credit Union, Equifax, proud partner of your Atlanta United and your local Ford dealer.
The home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Atlanta United in a stress ball of a match holds off New England Revolution 1-0 to move on to the Eastern Conference semifinal. Let's start by going downstairs. New England manager Bruce Arena is at the podium.
Since I've been in charge, and we're certainly going to make some changes in the offseason and hopefully build a stronger team next year. Yeah, I think they did well. They've improved. And obviously we've gotten to know all the players on the roster, which will help us make decisions for 2020.
We kind of got into that a little bit late. When Frank DeBoer comes to the podium, Eric, if you could monitor that, when Frank DeBoer comes to the podium, in the playoffs they use one media room for the managerial interview. So when Frank DeBoer gets there, we will bring that to you live. One thing I want to mention before we start breaking down this match, and I just tweeted it, I feel strongly, and Bruce Arena was talking about making some changes, and you know, I get where he's going with that. They were knocked out in the first round this year, but it feels like if they can keep this group of Heal, Bull, and Bunbury together, you know, Caldwell is only 28, Farrell's only 26. It was awesome for them today. Under Bruce Arena, I think this team is going to be in the cup conversation next year. The way they finished under him, they only lost 4 of 21 matches under his guidance, and 2 of them were in this building.
They lost 4 matches under Bruce Arena. The teams that beat them were Atlanta twice, LAFC, and NYC, the 3 best teams in the league.
I'm doing a soccer game, but I can talk. All right, man of the match brought to you by Heineken. We didn't really discuss this during the commercial break, so I'll just yield to you.
It's got to be Franco Escobar. Ezequiel Barco was outstanding today, and he's a really close second. But Escobar, for getting the goal that was so needed, plus his defensive work, critical.
Just pulling up Escobar's stats, obviously he had the goal. He had a shot on target. That's essentially it as far as the statistical line is concerned. But
defensively, he was so big. With his work defensively, 5 tackles to lead the team, had a clearance, had an interception, gained possession 6 times, 2 off the lead for the team, only lost possession 8 times. And that's something that's been the thing that's worried you the most about Franco Escobar, is this season he's had some uncharacteristic turnovers. To have that kind of output defensively and get a goal, and get the winning goal, Franco Escobar's man of the match.
Brought to you by Heineken. Final stats. 14 shots for each team. 5 on target for Atlanta, 6 for New England. Corners were 7-7. Crosses were 13-10 New England. Here's where the match was won for Atlanta United. They won 62% of the duels today to 38% for New England. Excuse me for 1 minute. Your mic is on, Eric. Your mic is on. Thank you. back to the show. We'll hopefully edit that out in the full-time report. For those of you listening to us on Canada Talks, Channel 167, we don't usually have that happen. possession was 55-45 Atlanta United. This feels statistically, Jason, very, very similar to what we just saw 13 days ago. Statistically, it turned out to be an even match. It felt like Atlanta United had less control of this one today than they did 13 days ago. And yes, I will say, what really concerned me at the time, and I said it a couple times, so often this year we've seen Atlanta United get that quick kill shot after halftime when they're even or trailing at halftime, and you didn't see it today. I don't think it's an indictment of Atlanta. I think it's a credit to New England.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely a credit to New England. They came out energized in the second half. They were very good, and it was down to the changes that were made by Frank DeBoer. Instead of trying to outplay them in the 3-5-2, they weren't finding the advantages in that shape. They matched the shape, and that made it more difficult for New England to create the mismatches that they did earlier. Carlos Heel had to defend. He had to play in a position, not just kind of roaming around free. It forced Brandon Bye and DeJuan Jones into difficult spots because he had to defend against not just Tito Villalba and Julian Gressel, but also overlaps from Pogba and Escobar, and that's where the game was won.
All right, let's get into what we know and what we really don't know about Michael Parkhurst. And I know many of you are walking out to your cars right now. Some of you have made it into your cars. We might get more from Frank DeBoer when he has his media availability in a moment. I don't think there's going to be a diagnosis, but it looked like that there was a left shoulder issue with Michael Parkhurst that was severe enough to cause him to writhe in pain in a way that we don't typically see Michael Parkhurst writhe in pain. I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to go into speculative diagnoses and what his status might be for Thursday. Two-pronged question for you, Jason. How would you evaluate the job that Atlanta United did today in compensating for Miles Robinson not being able to play? That's number one. Number two, how would you approach Thursday's match if you do not have Parkhurst and Miles available?
One's easy because you didn't miss Miles Robinson today, and I didn't expect to be saying that when we were done, even if it was a big win for Atlanta United, because they didn't really sit back as much as I expected. They didn't refrain from having LGP or Escobar win in the three center backs, push forward. They pretty much played as they play. It wasn't a conservative game plan. It wasn't what we saw in Montreal, for example, where it was sitting a little deeper. That surprised me. And then to be able to go to a line of four with Parkhurst and LGP in the middle, it was excellent. It was excellent. They were amazing. Larenowitz and Parkhurst were both amazing today. Now, who knows about the injury? We're seeing lots of different things. We don't know anything as of yet. It didn't look good. If you don't have him, and I think just trying to read between the lines, Robinson is unlikely this quick in a turnaround, you've got to make a big decision. Can you go to a four-man back line with Pogba and or Mikey Ambrose, who is still a big part of this group, probably playing in Nashville tonight for Atlanta United 2, has been playing a lot of minutes for Atlanta United 2 and playing very, very well for Atlanta United 2. You have him as a possibility. Pogba can play inside. Jeff Larenowitz can play inside with Leandro Gonzalez Pires. We know Franco Escobar can play there too, but I think you want him at right back or as a right center back. I think you're probably looking more and more at a four-man back line just because of who you have available and also what it creates the other way going forward.
You would have 5 days to implement such a change. Does that worry you?
No, because they were able to do it today. I mean, we had not seen the 4-4-2 since the Monterrey match in the second half. Maybe late in the first half when they went away from the 3-4-3 and went to a 4-4-2. Everybody, we talk about the changes that this team's went through tactically. It was a 3-4-3 early on, a true 3-4-3. Then it went to a 4-3-3, but the in-between step in matches, and Monterrey was the prime one, it went 4-4-2 first. They haven't played 4-4-2 since then, a true 4-4-2. That's what this was. Barco dropped in behind Joseph, but it was a 4-4-2, and to be able to do that, you work on these things, and you get comfortable in these things in training. Now you're going to have more days to refine it if that's the direction you go, and likely, if you don't have Robinson and Parkhurst, that might be the direction you have to go.
And again, we don't want to speculate. As soon as we get more information officially from the club, we will let you know. If you were here in here with us, you know it did not look good. Joseph Martinez's injury in here during the San Jose match did not look good and turned out to be less than what we initially feared. So keep a good thought for the captain tonight. We hope that this was not the way he ended his career tonight. That would be very, very sad, very, very unfortunate, and we don't know if that's the case or not. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have the highlights. We're hoping to speak to an Atlanta United player as well, and if Frank DeBoer comes to the podium, we'll bring that to you as well. As Atlanta United defeats New England Revolution 1-0 to advance to the Eastern Conference semifinals here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The real guys go for real down to Mars, girls.
Time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 1-0 Atlanta United over New England Revolution. We're playing Atlanta music after every playoff win this year because
that's the tradition.
That's just what we're going to do.
That's what we did last year.
And Roses has absolutely nothing to do with this match whatsoever. It's just my favorite song by Outkast, so that's what we're going to do.
We need something up-tempo, something happy after the stress of the 2 hours that preceded this.
Now, an update on Michael Parkhurst, and let's take the music off. It's not a good update. We have gotten several reports from the tunnel that Michael Parkhurst was taken away from the stadium by an ambulance. He is headed to hospital. Aside from that, we know nothing more. We just don't know anything more. I think the best we can say right now is that keep a good thought for Michael Parkhurst. I think that's all we can really do right now. It would be so incredibly unfortunate if that's the moment on which his career ends. But I think no matter how this ends for Atlanta United, Michael Parkhurst is going to be an enormous part of this playoff run, whether it be in a supporting role, a non-playing role, or, God willing, a playing role. Michael Parkhurst will be seen again at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm confident of that.
You don't win today without Michael Parkhurst.
No,
not
sir.
Not without the performance that he brought.
Okay, highlights. This should be a lot of fun. And Atlanta United and New England, by the way, as we get into the highlights, I just want to share a statistic with you. Key passes were 11-11 in this game. Expected goals, 1.2 Atlanta, 0.9 New England.
It's about
really,
what it felt like.
Really close game.
Yeah, that's about what it
really
felt like.
Really close game.
It's a playoff game.
It's a playoff game. I mean, how many times? It felt a lot to me like the playoff game you had at Yankee Stadium last year, where Atlanta United did get the breakthrough. They were better, but it was not an easy 90 minutes to get through. In fact, at times it was a violent match. I don't think it reached that same level of violence today.
But it
felt just as stressful.
It wasn't the same because you knew you had another match.
And you were on the road, and, you know, you got a draw on the road.
Yeah,
fine, so
it was different. It had a different feel. I mean, this was bringing back bad memories of the Columbus match because it just felt like on a night where Joseph can't find the breakthrough, on a night where it's like, man, you've had your chances and it's not going to fall. It takes the change, and it takes a moment of brilliance from Barco and Escobar.
It does. But here's what led to that moment. First 35 minutes, what do you think, Jason? Maybe just slightly advantage Atlanta. It was an evenly played first 35 minutes.
First half, I'd say slightly better Atlanta.
Atlanta had two very good chances, but then New England came up with a great chance, and it was a bad bounce off this artificial surface that put a ball in for a 2-on-1 over Leandro Gonzalez-Perez, and Brad Guzan made an enormous save. Dressel's cross, back post, Heinemann header, down to Joseph, but Farrell intercepts and clears. And it then bounces over Leandro's head. 2-on-1, Bunbury and Bow. It's Bunbury ahead to Bow, top of the 18. Bow then gives it away to Parkhurst, but it rolls back to Pena, top of the 18. Shot! What a save, Guzan! Out for a corner! Unbelievable diving save, Brad Guzan. You know, we mentioned now that Atlanta United, in 13 knockout games they've played all time, they've won 10 of them. How many clean sheets has Brad Guzan had in those situations? We'll have to count that up during the break. He had a couple in Open Cup this year. He had one in Orlando. Did they clean sheet St. Louis? I think they did,
they
right?
They did.
Clean sheeted St. Louis. He didn't play in the Campeones Cup. That wasn't a clean sheet anyway. You obviously had the clean sheet in the MLS Cup final last year. You had a couple clean sheets
clean
in
sheet
last year's playoff at Yankee
clean
Stadium.
Clean sheet here against Red Bulls.
Yes, exactly right. Technically, he had a clean sheet against Columbus in 2015. 2017.
Yeah, he did. Technically, no, that's a clean sheet. That's not technical.
People
that's a clean
in
sheet.
The Fight Mike Conti for anything role on Twitter are now arguing with me that there's no such thing as a draw and knockout.
No, I'm going to make something very clear. There is a draw and knockout. It goes down officially as a draw because the penalty shootout, those goals don't count.
Right.
It's a penalty shootout to determine who breaks the draw. It's a draw. That's how it goes down in the record books.
People will fight with me on anything.
Well, that's incorrect. I'm going to make sure that's very clear from a soccer perspective. That's a draw.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So Brad Guzan kept the score line scoreless. And then a couple minutes later, Joseph Martinez had a golden opportunity off a corner kick, a miss that he seldom has, that almost put Atlanta United on the board first. Gressel with both arms up in the air. They attack the goal to our right. Gressel up to the ball, swings it to the penalty spot, right to Joseph, falls to him, volley over the crossbar, out for goal kick. Dropped right to Joseph somehow, and Joseph couldn't put that home. And then we have the most controversial moment really of the entire match, and it came right before halftime, a sequence involving Joseph at the edge of the six-yard box, and Matt Turner, the New England keeper. We're getting a lot of questions about this sequence on Twitter. We'll play for you how we called it first, and then we'll kind of evaluate what we saw later after getting a couple replays. Two-man wall for New England, now a one-man wall. Gressel pitched to the penalty spot, and Leandro is pushed down to the box. It rolls to Joseph, is clipped down in the box! Penalty and a yellow card.
No, it's not a penalty.
It's simulation on Joseph. It's a simulation yellow on Joseph Martinez. You've got to be kidding me. And again, the reason why I scream penalty is because Kevin Stott, the referee, from way outside the 18-yard box, is running in, grasping a yellow card, running towards the spot. And Joseph obviously fell down. There was contact with Matt Turner. Looked like a penalty. Turns out they got Joseph for simulation. Now, we've seen a bunch of replays. I'm going to side with Stott on the no penalty. But
I'm okay with that.
But
I don't
yellow,
love it. I'm okay with that.
The yellow is what really gets me.
Yes. That's the part that I have the biggest problem with. It's a judgment call. Was it enough to call the penalty? In a regular season match, maybe. In a playoff match, you're going to lean to no. I understand that. I don't love it, but I get it. The yellow there makes no sense because there's obviously something that happens in that moment. You can see it on the replays. But the problem is, and I don't know, this gets into a situation in a gray area in VAR. You're not looking at a yellow card in VAR, but you can look at the whole thing and come back and take the yellow away if you so choose. They went through it pretty quick and decided to leave it as it was. Hopefully that yellow doesn't become meaningful.
Well, and as you said, as long as he doesn't get a yellow in the East semifinal.
And he doesn't pick up many.
Right, yeah, really only when he takes his shirt off. I think that's the first time, at least in my 2 years doing it, is absolutely the first time he's gotten a yellow for simulation. Again, you hope it doesn't come into play, but Joseph's an emotional guy, and taking off your shirt is an automatic yellow, and you just hope that doesn't happen on Thursday night. Nonetheless, it went to halftime scoreless. And then I started getting nervous because I felt Atlanta United did not look very sharp coming out of halftime. Then Frank DeBoer made the key move of the match, bringing on Tito Villalba and Florentin Pogba, changing the shape to the 4-4-2, and eventually, in the 70th minute, it became a goal. Barco just as worthy of credit for this as Franco Escobar, who slotted it home, the hot play of the match brought to you by Scana. Villalba's cross to the back post. Joseph headed away by Farrell. Bounces back to Nagby. Advances it to Barco. Barco at the top of the 18. Sends it through now to Escobar. His cross. Score! And it's the Joker, the playoff hero from 2018, that breaks through for Atlanta United in the 70th minute. How did he do it? It was an amazing finish. If he had crossed, as I thought he was doing, Tito Villalba's got a walk-in goal. It was a great team goal by Atlanta United. But, boy, what a job by Barco to get that all started.
Yeah, Barco was really trying to play the role of creator tonight. At times, just holding the ball, waiting for the run, drawing defenders to him, taking a lot of contact. Barco ended up knocked down quite a few times. At times, looking for a call that wasn't there. At times, getting hit from behind. It felt like every time he was getting closed down quickly. This was one where he was able to turn and face. He draws defenders to him and somehow pulls off a Houdini act, slipping it through to Escobar, who just roofs it into the top of the net.
But Atlanta United would have to see the match out for about 25 minutes. And then with Michael Parker's getting hurt deep into added time, there was time for New England to take one final corner at the full-time whistle. They brought the goalkeeper, Matt Turner, up into the play, and this was the final play of the match. Now it's an all-hands-on-deck, 12-on-10 corner kick as Turner comes up. Final play of the game. Fagundes in the near corner, strikes it, back post. Matt Turner with the header, and it's over the crossbar! And that would take us to full time. And I want to clarify two things. First of all, it was actually, it was Caicedo who got the head on it. I thought they were targeting Turner, but it was just in front of him. Caicedo had the header over the crossbar. Secondly, just to be clear, New England did not have 12 men on the field for that quarter kick.
I didn't even think about that until you just said it.
If they did, we're going to be writing pro about that. But it felt like 12-on-10 because he had Parkey off. Yeah. So basically it was like a two-man advantage it felt like for New England. But, no, they did not have 12
men
on the
field. That's funny. I didn't even notice that.
But I didn't notice it either, apparently. Clearly. And that's how it was seen out for Atlanta United for the 1-0 win. Again, when we get more information on Michael Parkhurst, and if we get more information here on the full-time report, we'll pass it along. Latest we have is that he was taken to hospital. Let's take another timeout. We're still taking your questions and your comments on Twitter. Send them in at MikeConte929 and at Longshoe, and we'll continue with the full-time report from the Benz right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Boy, you should know that I've got you on my mind, your secret admirer. I've been watching you.
All right, back live with a full-time report here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get into why we picked the music in a moment, but Frank DeBoer is speaking at the podium. Let's go down to him.
Information on Parkhurst's injury, and secondly, with only three healthy true center backs, can you continue to play 3-5-2 or 3-4-2-1 in the next round of the playoffs?
Did you play center back?
You do not want
okay. No, yeah, well, Michael Parkhurst, yeah, it's really, all bad news, but of course, you know, his shoulder popped out and dislocated. But the worst thing is, it wouldn't go in back. So he was still in the locker room with his shoulder out, so yeah, and he had a lot of pain. So we went on the ambulance with his shoulder, you know, still out. So yeah, you can imagine how painful that is. So, yeah, normally, what I think then he's a couple of weeks out. So yeah, we have to think about, you know, how we're gonna solve this. Of course, we're going to enjoy this victory, but yeah, tomorrow we're going to have the result of the other game, who we play against, and then I'm going to make my decisions who's going to play. But yeah, it's quite thin up there right now in the back.
And just as a follow-up, when do you make the decision what formation you're going to play? Is it like days before, or is it after you see training?
Well,
and how things are going?
Of course, normally I will do that like 3-4 days before.
Okay.
When I think, okay, this is the best approach to get the best out of our team, but also the best for the result, of course. And of course, I'm going to talk with players, you know, if they feel comfortable with it, you know. So we were doubtful. I talked with the players also, you know, because we trained with four and we trained with three in the back. And at the end, they said, okay, well, we want to play with three. Okay, so that's our choice because they have to execute it on the field. So, and it was also, we did it quite well on training. So, and we showed it the first half, only the second half. Yeah, I think we lost a little bit of control. So that's why I changed. So it's good that we trained it also. And they aren't surprised that suddenly, okay, what do we do have to do now? So it's good, you know, that a team can play different kind of systems because it gives the opponent, you know, to think about, to worry about. And, I think that's an advantage for us.
You said Heinemann brings a better balance to the midfield. What does he do compared to Pitty that kind of balances things out in a better way?
Well, I think Pitty is always the player on the number 10 position, and Heinemann is one of the three midfielders. So
I think you can play with Barco and Petey, you know, like we did with Minnesota. But, you know, the discipline, what he does, you know, also in defensively to be also in our box when he has to defend. Yeah, that's the balance that that I'm searching for, you know. Of course, you can play with players like that, but it's a big risk. And I know that he's very comfortable on the ball. Also, Emerson, I think he did great, you know, and with Barco and with Darlington. And they are three players who really are comfortable, you know, play small triangles together. And so I had no reason to change. And in the future, you know, it can change. But right now, for me, this is for me right now the best balance on the midfield. But, you know, again, I'm looking to the opponent, and maybe next time I choose for a different balance.
All right, Frank de Boer with his post-game remarks down in the media room. That last answer is probably going to get some people's attention.
It shouldn't. That's the problem. I think people need to understand, like, when you're at this point in the season, you're looking to limit risk wherever possible. And he's 100% right. I mean, Pity Martinez, the way he plays, brings more risk. If you want to play him, you have to do something else differently. And again, just before, you're talking about how, you know, low in numbers you are in the back. You have limitations in what you can do defensively to incorporate that. Now, can you get more out of Pity defensively? Possibly. This time of year, it's a different conversation. Can you get more defensively out of Barco? Yes, I think you can. Can you find a way to get them on the field together? Yes, we've seen it. But also, in a game like this one, maybe he's not the right. Something that I think is becoming more and more common in the game around the world, it's not about one starting 11 and that's it. It's not about one shape and that's it. It's not about one shape in a match and that's it. You have to be comfortable in playing in different ways. And the fact, and I thought the number one thing that, from what we heard Frank de Boer say, was how much they worked on four in the back and three in the back. And how they were comfortable either way. And he put it to the players in a real collaborative effort here. How do you feel more comfortable? And they've had more success with three. I completely understand being more comfortable in that. They've played more of it lately. But it wasn't working in the second half. You had to make the change. And the change won you the match.
Well, and I also like an answer he gave a little earlier when he said he made the decision to play three in the back because that's what the players told him
to do.
Exactly. The players have to go out and
the players were
that.
More comfortable
right.
in that.
And I hope that – I'm not a petty man, but there are a lot of people that I've muted and blocked on Twitter in the months of March and April. I'd like to really unmute and unblock all those people right now and get their reaction to that comment, but I'm not going to because I'm not a petty man.
The first part as well about Michael Parkhurst, Frank de Boer confirmed that it's dislocated and they could not pop it back into place, and that's what we were afraid of from what we could tell. It was on the other side of the field from us, but you could see it on TV. You could see that the effort to pop it back into place. And that's always a scary thing when you can't get it back into place because it's just a ton of pain.
Yeah, and that's what Frank said, and that's why Parkhurst was taken to hospital because he is in so much pain. De Boer said he's going to be out several weeks, or usually that kind of injury
would
be several weeks.
Yeah, usually when you can't get it popped back into place, you're talking about a bigger issue.
Okay, so that takes us into really the main question we've been getting on Twitter, and we've workshopped a potential lineup, and I think some of it also depends on opponent, as Frank de Boer said.
100%.
Is it going to be Philadelphia or New York Red Bulls Thursday night? But Scott Moore, I think, put it the most succinctly, with Robinson still out and Parkhurst injured, are we looking at Escobar, LGP, Pogba, three in the back? He also says the Parkey injury happened right in front of him. He knew it was bad. Yep. So do you go three in the back? Do you go four in the back? We've been workshopping a 4-2-1-3 or 4-2-3-1.
Which they've played,
which honestly I would feel pretty good about against Philadelphia or Red Bulls coming up on Thursday.
You've got to figure out who the opponent's going to be because they present different challenges. So I don't think you make this decision until you know the outcome tomorrow. Red Bulls, you know they're going to press. You know they're going to make it difficult for you to play out of the back. You have to factor that in when you choose your defenders. For Philadelphia, they press, but they play a little differently. They like to play a 4-4-2 diamond where they can, but there's a huge question about Kasper Schabilko. So will they be able to play that 4-4-2 diamond, or are they going to look to do something different, more like a 4-3-3? Do you want to match that and create 1v1 battles? I don't think it's the same lineup either way. I think it's going to depend on who the opponent is. But you have solutions to play either way you want. You have, obviously, if you want to play three in the back, well, let's just go for it this way. Your center back options, no matter what, Leandro Gonzalez-Pires obviously is going to play. Florentin Pogba, Jeff Lorenowitz, Franco Escobar. Those are your players who can play at center back. Escobar in a three-man back line, probably not in a four. That makes sense, but you've got to think about the midfield as well. Eric Rometty factors in as a holding midfielder. Jeff could be a holding midfielder. You could go 4-4-2, 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1, 3-5-2, 3-4-3. You've still got everything on the table.
Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification.
MLS in Atlanta.
And we are your official station for all things Atlanta United.
WZGC Atlanta, WZGC HD1.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, Atlanta United defeating New England 1-0 here in the full-time report. They'll move on to play Philadelphia or New York Red Bulls. By the way, who would you rather play?
Given
your lineup issues right now with Parkhurst and Miles potentially out.
Red Bulls, because you know exactly what it's going to be. You know exactly what you're going to have to deal with. And if it's not, then you're in a great spot. Because if Red Bulls bring their press in, you know how to prepare for it. You've done it before. Frank DeBoer seen it a couple times now. You know what they're going to do. And if Chris Armas decides to get squirrely with the lineup like he did last year, well, then that worked out pretty well too.
And Red Bulls, I'd say you outplayed them maybe 160 out of 180 minutes this year. Philly, I think it's been a little more even.
Philly's a better team.
As match,
I mean,
control.
It's, I think at times we really look for upsets in the postseason, but your higher seeds, your higher seed for a reason. Like, they're the better team because they're the better team, and Philadelphia is a better team than the Red Bulls, so I'd rather see the weaker team in the New York Red Bulls, even with the history.
Christopher Gersel says, Coach Frank deserves a lot of credit for the substitutions. Pogba had probably his best game in a United shirt. Christopher, I love you. The game he played in Vancouver, I thought, was the best he's played all year. I know we're kind of being nitpicky now. Pogba was very, very good today, but I think he's played better longer for Atlanta United than he did today. He was good, though.
He had the most impact he's had in an Atlanta United shirt today, though.
Yeah.
And it was two things. It was going to 4-4-2 and matching what New England did, making them have to make some difficult decisions that they didn't handle well, and putting Tito Villalba and Florentin Pogba on the same side gave you a lot of just wildness on the left side. Let's just put it that way. Because Pogba, look, he's not going to play in a normal shape. He's not going to be disciplined defensively. If he gets a chance to go, he's going to go. He's also going to be able to hit a pass that very few people can, and he did multiple times to Tito Villalba. But we know what Tito brings to the table. It's anarchic. Like, it's creating chaos. And you had both of them on that one side. What I really liked was how the team kind of fed off of that. Almost right away, Pogba played a ball over the top to Villalba. He goes charging in, gets New England shaky. But then when they went, you didn't try to make them do what they can't do. Everyone just shifted. Jeff Lorenowitz dropped in a little bit deeper. Darlington Nagby, you know, moved over to the left a little bit more and covered for them. They played to their personalities, and that lifted the overall personality of the group.
Brett Murray kind of echoing what we've been talking about a lot, that Frank was the Heineken man of the match. The double switch to put Tito and Escobar in the wings flipped the second half, made New England sit on their heels and open things up for the five stripes. I think we're in
general agreement. It's a gutsy move. I mean, Gressel, I think, struggled a little bit to find his spacing on the right wing, but once he did, it was really good. And when you just create those overloads out wide with Pogba and Tito and Gressel and Escobar, New England didn't have an answer for it.
Couple different shouts for man of the match. One from our buddy Tom Russo suggesting Darlington Nagby. Ed Million says Ezekiel Barco.
Both were great. Jeff Lorenowitz was great today, especially in the first half. There really wasn't any poor performances outside of Justin Merrim, I thought, struggled to consistently put an impact on the match and had some very bad giveaways and bad spots of the field. I thought Emerson Heineman was solid but not spectacular today. And it was a match where maybe you needed a little more spectacular. And you weren't quite getting that out of Heineman when he was there.
Well, you know everything is better when Atlanta United wins, because Atlanta United has donated a total of $18,000 this year for their 18 regular season league wins to Piedmont Healthcare Foundation. As a not-for-profit hospital system, Piedmont Healthcare relies on the generosity of donors to expand healthcare services in our community. Atlanta United proud to be a Piedmont donor. So we don't know yet who Atlanta United will play Thursday night. It'll be one of two teams. We'll look ahead to Thursday and the week ahead for Atlanta United, a very important five-day lead-up to this match against either Philadelphia or New York Red Bulls. Right after this, Atlanta United 1-0 winners over New England Revolution here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Whoa, Atlanta.
Last weekend, we had a bad weekend in Atlanta. This weekend has started a lot better.
A little bit.
Atlanta United, 1-0 winners over New England Revolution to advance to the East semifinals. Georgia Tech, an overtime win at Miami today. Great job, Jeff Collins. Sean Elliott and the Georgia State Panthers, if you're listening to me, you know what to do now. You've got Army coming up at 7 o'clock. We can make this a clean sweep today for Atlanta. And then, of course, we have the Falcons tomorrow. But Atlanta United, 1-0 winners over New England Revolution today. Seattle now has a 2-0 win on Dallas in the first half there. Raul Ruiz Diaz had a golazo about 2 minutes ago. And then is that Jordan Morris
Jordan
who just
Morris
scored for Seattle? So they now lead Dallas 2-0 in the first half. The winner of that game will play the winner of Real Salt Lake and Portland tonight. And if Seattle holds on and wins this, that game will be played in Seattle. Also, at 6 o'clock Eastern time, it'll be Toronto hosting DC United. The winner of that game will play New York City at Citi Field next Wednesday. Philadelphia tomorrow against New York Red Bulls. The winner of that match will play at the Benz next Thursday night. We've gotten some conflicting information on kickoff time. It appears it is an 8 o'clock kick. No matter what, we're going to be on the air at 7 o'clock. Thursday night here on 92.9 The Game. The Hawks will be on V103 Thursday night as they open their season against the Detroit Pistons. Before we have some final thoughts, want to remind you that for every Atlanta United clean sheet this year, they've donated $2,000 to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, a donation total of $28,000. And Brad got a clean sheet on top of that tonight. So Brad with the clean sheet in Orlando in the Open Cup semifinals, clean sheet here tonight, got the clean sheet against St. Louis in the Open Cup. So that's three knockout games in which Brad has gotten a clean sheet out of seven that Atlanta United has won this year. And, hey, look, the best way to ensure that you're going to win in the playoffs is to get a clean sheet. Well, Brad is one for one now. So three wins away, Jason, from another parade. The matches will get progressively more difficult. There was nothing easy about this one today. But you say if given the choice between Philadelphia and Red Bulls Thursday night, you would rather play Red Bulls.
I would. I just think they're the weaker team. I just don't think they're the Red Bulls that we saw last year. They don't have Tyler Adams. There's a lot of discontent with that group, with players who wanted opportunities to go to other clubs. They didn't get those opportunities. Bradley Wright Phillips has not been the Bradley Wright Phillips that has been such a beast in this league over the years, although he's still popping up and getting some goals. It's not going to be easy either way, because now the games just get more and more difficult.
All right, again, we'll be on the air at 7 o'clock, no matter when the kickoff is, Thursday night here from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm sure tickets are going to be available on the Atlanta United website and Ticketmaster. We had a great, great crowd here today, a terrific crowd here for Atlanta United and New England Revolution, and we are hoping for a similar crowd here Thursday night, because the crowd can certainly make a difference. And I like what you said earlier. There was a real exhale, a palpable exhale when Franco Escobar scored that goal in the 70th minute today. So hopefully we get another raucous home crowd on Thursday night. For our engineer, Eric Davis, with whom we still have not lost, including last year's MLS Cup. And for our producer, Dylan Matthews, I'm Mike Conte. Once again, Atlanta United 1-0 over New England Revolution. We'll see you for the East semifinals Thursday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.